Professor Levine from the Department of Religious Studies, Chair of Judaic Studies, to just get to know you a little bit. What is your background in the Jewish community?
I mean, I came to UA in, I guess, 2012, and I teach in, you mentioned I'm religious studies, and I'm there part-time, and I'm in political science for the other part of the time. And I was teaching political science for about 10 years, and about 3 years ago, I was asked because my research sort of changed to I studied the Israel-Palestine conflict and political violence, and some of that, as y'all may know from the newspapers, I think people talk about the Israel-Palestine conflict a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, religion is sort of important in that conflict, turns out. Like, I know, it's a surprise. So once my work started to follow that more closely, you know, so then I sort of split between the two. And, you know, being part of the Jewish community, like, that was, you know, I was born that way. Right? So.
How did you first find out about the chalkings and such?
I think through the Crimson White, actually. And someone had, you know, someone texted me and asked me if I'd, like, what I thought. Former student. It was like, hey, sorry this happened. And I was like, oh, something happened. Okay. And so that was the, you know, that was that.
Yeah.
I guess, like, the thing about chalkings like this is they're not, I mean, speaking for myself, and I'm sort of speaking now not like as the guy who studies this for a living, but as just sort of someone who shares this community, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, I can only speak really for my own self. You know, I was born in like the late 1970s, right? So I'm not surprised that there are people that think things like this. Mm-hmm. I might be a little bit surprised that people sort of say them out, but then like this person isn't really saying them out loud. They're kind of writing them like in the dark of night and chalk and then running like hell. If you've been born since 1945, like the fact that anti-Semitism is a thing is not really a surprise. And if you've lived in Alabama for any length of time, you know that like there are people who think all sorts of things that you wish they didn't. But that's not everybody. It sort of depends on the person, right? The real thing with this is it doesn't have, in that sense, I don't feel like it has much to do with me. It has to do with my colleagues, my students, all the people who are adjacent to Jewish people but aren't themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the person who chalked this chalked it because they figured that Bama would be, like, a good, soft place to test out, like, to dip their toe in the water. And mm-hmm. they're betting that everybody around me that I know, work with, care about, that isn't Jewish is going to look at this and go, like, oh, yeah, well, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And the next time they'll dip their toe in a little more and a little more. For us, like for me, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I knew there were such folk. It's like the guy in the back row of class who makes the joke that's deniably a joke and deniably racist or deniably, right, misogynist. And then just to see what the prop's going to do, just to see where the water is. Mm-hmm. But I think for myself, like, I don't know anything that I didn't know yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, I'm not sadder than I was yesterday. Like, this is not. I mean, it's not great news, but it's not a surprise.
So I know you said that it wasn't a surprise to you, but whenever you, what was your initial reaction? Whenever you saw that Crimson White article, whenever you saw what was happening, what was your first thought?
My first thought? I guess my first thought was like, you know, this was going to happen sooner or later.
I'm interested about that. This was going to happen sooner or later. Why do you think that?
Well, I mean, we are that thing of testing the water, right? And let's say this. So if you're into global politics, and you know, like I kind of do this for a living, right? So there was a guy maybe 5-6 years ago in France named Dieudonné, sort of like a Kanye West, right? In his case, stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. right? Does a sort of edgy kind of comedy, right? And starts folding like anti-Semitic rhetoric into some of the stand-up routine. And again, it's supposed to, there's a moment where like pushing against some of the hypocrisies of French society around the Holocaust and the double standard between the Holocaust and other forms of violence that the French state's involved in, like it turns into a sort of joke. And part of the joke is pointing out the hypocrisy, but part of the joke is also dehumanizing people who really were victims of a thing, mm-hmm. and playing that against the one against the other. And that game is a rhetorical game that works kind of well, right? Making it look edgy. So if it works, you should expect to see it reproduce itself. Like, you might like that, you might not like it, but you shouldn't be surprised that you're seeing it. And then you'll go like, oh yeah, so if I see it here and then I see it there, I'm like, yep, well, it works.
What do you think specifically about the University of Alabama is something that people would want to say these things? Or
but why do they think here and not,
yeah,
you know,
why are they comfortable doing it here?
Well, right, because there's a very particular way that Alabama figures into the national story, and that way is not terribly sophisticated, and it doesn't make much like, and they may or may not know that like the UA of 1950 is not the UA of 2022, even though the UA of 2022, 23 also has its work to do, like, let's be sure. Yes. And because much of the politics that we see around very deep red states is a politics around resentment about things which you supposedly can't say. And that kind of edgy rhetoric, it's playing around these things that you can't say.
So as like a non-Jewish person, I saw the chalking like outside of Houston Hall yesterday. I was walking to work. I had something to do in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I saw one of the chalkings. I couldn't stop and do anything, but like as a non-Jewish person, what could I have done to like support the community and just stuff like that?
I think in that moment, you know, just that you, the fact that you saw that and reflected that way is like you know, it speaks well of you, right? Because I think, you know, and I've had similar conversations with colleagues from other groups that sometimes experience different kinds of minoritization, right? Like, there's that feeling that like, wow, okay, so no one but us is gonna care about this. And the whole, what is isolating about that is that feeling that like you're gonna be peeled off. Like, so in that sense, like if you've got friends who are part of that community, and like even if when you say like, hey, are you doing all right? Like you just check in with them that way. Even if they're like, oh yeah, whatever. Like even if they kind of laugh it off, my guess is part of them is gonna appreciate that you asked, you know? And I think the other thing that folks can do is we can resist. I'm going to sound like Yoda, right? But we can resist like the dark side, right? It's cheaper, quicker, more seductive, right? Like if it feels really satisfying, but sort of reductive, like the moment when you're like, okay, who do I get to throw under the bus today for the thing that I saw on Insta that pissed me off, right? Like the thing is, you don't get to throw anybody under the bus, right? And like I said before, right? Like when I checked the Twitter response to all that stuff, all the responses were like, okay, but like nobody was actually hurt, and like all these people were hurt in Palestine last week, right? And it's like, yeah, you know what? There's a lot that's wrong with that response, but like we are equally obliged to take on the full humanity of Palestinian suffering and the imperative to address it and to address this, and nobody gets to be thrown under the bus. And knowing how to negotiate that both from within the community and from outside of it, that's the skill set that we don't have, both not just around Jewish difference, but around race, around, that's the skill set that your generation is figuring out and teaching us.
And we appreciate you having this conversation with us this morning to help us talk about these things and figure out how to talk about these topics in a way that is helpful to all of us. Professor Levine, thank you so much for being in the studio with us today.